Very exciting times here at Get 'Em Onside. Now, just we want to make it clear there will be no post-game interviews and they won't be being filmed. So now everyone can rest easy. Joel Kane, Sean Ormerod, welcome to another edition.
Was that 1 second it took him to mention that, Shug?
He's a bit up and about, listeners and viewers today. So
well, everything's, you know, it's everyone is Robin Williams and it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Hey, more importantly, we've got exciting news. We've got a very exciting news. We are officially going to the big channel and we're doing it permanently. So in the past, we've gone to Fox League for Origin finals. But we will be on each and every Thursday after the Matty John Show. So that's Prime Real Estate. We're very excited about it from next week. So from round, what round are we up to now?
Round three, Dan.
From round four onwards, we will be on after Matty John's every Thursday night. So we'll be doing two podcasts, that one and the regular one, which you'll get on the usual channel. Isn't that exciting?
Fantastic. So that's why I see in the rundown. And very, very clever from our man Gibbo. He's going to squeeze in. You know the last round before finals, the reserve graders get a bit of a run?
Yes.
He's squeezing in. What were they thinking today? Ahead of first grade next week. Okay?
You know the email address?
Yes.
It is just bursting,
yes,
Sugar.
It's bursting.
People asking, where is a segment? What were they thinking? But also,
so what is the email address?
With little tidbits that I may have missed. Not that that's the name of the segment. Get them on site at sportsbet.com.au.
Correct.
John. All right. But by the way, but rest assured, because we've had not complaints in the past, but observations. Well, if you're only doing a 26-minute show, where's the rest of it? We are doing the long version as well, which will drop the normal at the normal time. So everyone is a winner, but that's very exciting. Fox League next week. And what's great is that you two are regulars on Fox League, but now we're going to step it up with the three of us.
Yeah.
Now we're going to step it up.
So Thursday.
Right? That's exactly right.
So Thursday, you've got the rugby league, which is usually a cracking game.
Yes.
This week, Panthers and the Broncos.
Can I correct you there? It's not Thursday. It's Little Friday.
Little Friday.
Little Friday.
Okay, so you have the big game.
Yep.
Then you've got the Matty John Show with Fletch and Hindy and team and Gordy.
That's right.
Excellent.
That'll serve as the
entree.
Oh, the lead-in. Joel is calling the Matty John Show the lead-in to get him on side.
That's right. So that'll be the appetizer.
Yeah.
And then, bang, we're on.
All right. Cannot wait. You'll need to be at your best, though, gents. This is not reserve grade. We're not playing reserve grade anymore. I'll tell you what hasn't been reserve grade, and that has been the tipping of these gentlemen. Let's get to some so right, so wrong. It has been largely excellent, but there has been the, I mean, we have to, again, like we did last week, we start with a loss just to pretend we're being humble, and Joel was a little askew with a struggling team.
Based on that team list, I'm very, very certain Bronson Sherry, that'd be an ideal game to make your comeback where you're not named in the 17, so you don't get the hoo-ha throughout the week.
Well, especially former Cronulla player.
When you slide him in at the last minute.
And right? Kiro's onto the wing.
Kiro onto the wing, and then Connor Tracy to fullback, and unfortunately Blake Taff misses out.
Well, that didn't even cost anyone any money, because if you had bet on players that don't play in the game, you get your money back, don't you, Sean?
That's true.
Okay.
Just on that, Serraldo has been bang on with both his teams so far. So I thought for sure that had happened. Sherry, Connor Tracy to fullback, but he has named 1 to 17 each and every week. I have looked into the Sherry situation. So he's close. They just said he just needs to work on a bit of defence. So once he tidies that up, he'll be playing first grade.
Right.
Well, the one thing the Dogs have done is defend. You've got to give them credit. They still can't score a point, but they can defend. That's a big
and
game against Gold Coast
fullback? At Belmore.
In that team?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd go Connor Tracy.
I would too.
Yeah.
Now, best bets. 1, 2, 3.
I'm super keen on the Warriors at the start.
It's cruel for the Warriors, but how composed are the Melbourne Storm stars when they had to stand up?
I cannot believe, Sean, you've set the over-under so high for this game. Dolphins and Dragons, 46.5. It's got low scoring game written all over it, doesn't it?
Full time. Dolphins 38, the Dragons 0.
Not sure we needed the close-up of me there, but well, it was low scoring, thankfully, for one team. But again, the number, the magic number at KO Stadium, 38 points.
Yeah.
I didn't expect one team would get all 38 of those, but we did that easily. So well done to those that had the multi. I, of course, forgot which always it seems to be. When we get the 3 out of 3, we clean up, but I'm never part of it.
And a quick reminder, pertinent time to remind people where they can find it in the weekly hub.
Yes.
Go in there. It's got its own little section. You'll find the Best Bets Multi. We've done it for you. Keep it nice and simple. So it's there. And a lot of people did find it last week, Dan.
All right.
Unfortunately, you weren't one of them.
And one more, so right. And, oh, good, we're talking Latrell Mitchell. Joel Kane picked Latrell to do something.
Not only am I tipping Latrell Mitchell to score this week, I think he can score through the left-hand side of the Broncos.
Nice plays, a couple of dints in the Broncos, like this here from Latrell Mitchell. Mitchell gets into the backfield. Mitchell striding out, and he scores his 100th try in the NRL.
Is there anything more satisfying in punting than the end of the game, meaningless moment to get our bet up? That is almost believe in God again, go to the church and light a candle stuff.
Do you know what? When he got the ball on the halfway line, I laughed to myself thinking, he's going to score. I just had a feeling. And then the synchronised cramping at the end capped it off.
Yeah,
that was nice.
But in reality, right, that try he scored, that's a try from the halfway line against the Broncos.
It's a great try.
He makes it look so easy. That is a great try.
80th minute of the game.
Yeah. But you have to...
Again, 80th, Nick, unbelievable. 80th minute of the game. Unbelievable. No, negative, you know why? Sean has to find the fault with that try.
Well, you know why I'll find fault with it? Because for every positive, there's some sort of saying that there is a negative.
13 plus.
Just a nail in the coffin.
13 plus.
And then I had to put up with your eye-popping emoji coming through on WhatsApp and I was head in hand.
You can't let him run around at that price. I think Jack White at 350 is a stupid price this week.
Now, we were going to talk about Latrell, but now that the NRL has sent an edict about everyone has to be positive, let's do our main topic for the day. This is a fun topic. Best rugby league try of all time. I love it when we can have these discussions and no one gets hurt. That Xavier try finish against the Warriors. I gave up on this game. I put my hand up. I was at a mate's place. Warriors up 26-18, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
I said, not even the great Melbourne Storm can get out of this. And I've missed all of this until my phone...
I didn't even watch it live.
Didn't watch it live.
Oh, no.
And then, this is how bad my situation was. I was with a group of friends who were watching the Super Rugby on a laptop outside.
Oh,
I know. God, that certainly was not my choice. And I've actually, once my phone starts blowing up, I've actually just made the demand that whatever game they were watching, which looked very boring, I said, I'm sorry, put it on KO, put it on this game. Something amazing has happened. And no one had any problem with that once I saw what Xavier Coates did. But anyway.
Just email in to the email address that everyone knows. There's a fine for you watching Super Rugby when that's going on.
Well, it's not my choice.
Well, your friends then. And well, whoever they are.
Well, they were friends of friends. They were friends of friends.
Okay.
Friends by association. Good people, but friends by association.
Yeah.
I'm the one that missed out. But anyway, let's talk about the subject at hand. Joel... The problem with talking about this as the greatest try of all time is there's so many different ways to score a try. Mm. You've got put down, you've got the fact, you've got some team tries like that's not a try, that's a miracle.
Yep.
You've got moment of the game. Obviously, this is top of the pops and doing it in the last moment. So when the question is asked, what is the greatest rugby league try of all time, what are you looking for?
Okay, well, context, I think you mentioned about that last-minute try. I've got a short list here. Coyne, who you mentioned. Kyle Felt. This is an underrated try. He comes up with Morgan for that pass.
Michael Morgan.
One of the great tries. Mullins with the chip and chase.
Which one? Okay, chip
against the Broncos down there at Canberra.
I think that's enhanced by Rabs because it's an...
Of course.
Right. So the try is great.
Yes.
Rabs makes it even greater. Yes. So then do we knock... And I'm not...
That's all part of it.
Right, okay. Because the Mark Coyne try, I think, is the greatest Australian sporting call of all time.
Eric Groth, senior, when he beat 5 against Canterbury.
In the final.
Billy Slater, again, Rabs with the Origin.
Mm.
Yep.
Chicka Ferguson, 89 grand final.
Yes.
I have that head of the Steve Jackson one. And one of the most underrated grand final tries ever is Brad Izzard. But my number one, gentleman, and it is context...
Brad Izzard what?
In the grand final, 91.
Oh, okay.
when they're doing all these types of moves and Freddie's hurdling over people.
He's just written all those down just off
boom, boom,
off,
boom,
offhand.
Boom,
yeah. Boom,
offhand.
One impressive. Of the great rugby league memories.
Anyway, but you're number one.
My number one, just the context of it, how it played out. Benji Marshall was not supposed to be back at fullback. Pat Richards with the injury. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. So, again, it's a grand final. It's 6-6. You're right. The Richards work is underrated.
Mm.
I mean, it's all about the Benji flick, and it should be.
Scotty Prince checkers first and in the kick chase, and that little half a second is all you need for the gap. There's a really good doco, I don't know if you've seen it, on YouTube. You can see us on YouTube too, by the way, in KO, called The Forgotten Fend.
That's well done.
The Forgotten Fend. Have you seen that?
No.
Have neither of you seen that doco?
No,
it strike me down. I haven't seen that doco.
It's a 10-minute doco called The Forgotten Fen.
Hang on, if it's a doco, if it's 10 minutes, it's not a documentary.
It's all about that one moment.
Great, but it's not a documentary.
You're putting it in the
30 for 30 territory. Mate, it's outstanding. It's a doco. It's 10 minutes.
Outstanding. Check it out.
Very good. We agree, actually, and you can talk us through this one, which is my favourite.
Yeah, everyone knows this one, the Greg Inglis solo try. And as you said, there's a few different ways to look at best tries ever. This one purely from a solo perspective and how far he goes. So he gets the ball on the 10 metre line. So he's gone 90 metres, but he beats, we watched this just before we started, he beats nine defenders on his own. He finishes off with a little fend here. He even gets tripped. The composure and it's almost an arrogant composure where he just drops the knee, gets back up again, bang.
And that was an enormous, it was Anzac Day. And I think it was the first time Brisbane had hosted on Anzac Day. Mm. It must have been a Friday Anzac Day fell on because it had to be.
Who called it?
Tim Gilbert.
Correct.
Just on calling, as a commentator, is that just those things? That's what you dream of?
That, the Inglis one, is the better try to call, I don't know if you agree, than Coates.
Just a big moment.
Because.
Well, the build-up.
You need the build-up. And that's why I say the Mark Coyne try is Rabs' greatest ever call.
You had to keep finding gears.
15 passes. And he elevates his voice just slightly 15 times and puts in little words in amongst it. It's perfect.
It's the nuance that I love about it.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah. So fun topic.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, Joel has decided to bring a second we've got to talk about to the table.
Well, just to drag us down a little bit. Now, the errors this week were quite comical, slightly up on last year. So every week there's about 180 errors. But this is Hall of Fame stuff. This week, we've never in the history of the game, going back to 1908, have we ever seen anything like this? This is in the one round. Have we, Dan? Have we, Sean?
I think, look, I haven't seen every round from 1908, Joel. So there might be a little
What's
bit of
What's your best guess, though,
there?
Seriously?
Well, it's round two. Be forgiving, it's
but
round two.
But what about
two.
These? Yeah, that the was best.
Not for just cold drops like that. No pressure. Didn't Val have a shocker?
That's
no game.
I think that's his worst career game. Ever.
Could be.
Val does, but he's a champion. He'll bounce back.
He'll be back.
So since 1908, I don't believe we've ever had
such
a comedy of errors.
Did you compile those stat numbers yourself, or did you farm them out to someone else?
A little bit of farming. here's something very interesting for you, actually. The three highest games for errors, have a listen to this. Storm versus Panthers, blockbuster. Roosters versus Manly, blockbuster. Broncos versus South, blockbuster. They're the three biggest error games.
Mm.
But again, I thoroughly enjoyed all those games.
Yeah.
Right. Errors. Sterling said it. I remember many years ago. I never forgot it. Sometimes you need errors in a game because it puts the teams on the attack, right? Yep. Whereas if there's no errors, it's set for set, and that's boring.
Yep.
And I also think what is enhancing the quality of footy is the downtown rule. Now, you notice where teams are starting sets. They're not starting sets generally on the 10-metre line. They're close to the 30-metre line at a far more regular clip. And now that means they get to go on the attack much earlier.
Okay, can I throw one thing at you boys? I believe, having thought about this, any penalty you give by way of an obstruction, a shepherd, with the ball, it shouldn't also be a penalty. But the downtown rule is literally an 80-metre swing.
With the kick.
With the penalty kick.
Yeah.
Just give it a turnover where they do it, if you have the ball. Unless it's foul playing or someone.
An attacking penalty.
Yeah.
I don't mind that, Shul.
All right. And by the way, a warning to my Queensland fans, just I'd tune out towards the end because there's a Bambi you're not going to like. Penrith versus Brisbane is our first game, and a bit of a shame about this one. Grand final rematch is exciting, but we've got a lot of players missing. Reynolds and Haas. Reynolds certainly. As we go to where, Sean, you've said that Haas has been confirmed is out. Is that correct?
Yeah, just as we walked in, I got that information.
And no Fisher-Harris either.
No Fisher-Harris. So it is a bit disappointing that there's so many big names out. And the Lions moved. It was 8.5 as we were about to hit record. Mm. Now we're at 10.5. And I think
that's a big line.
It is still big, isn't it?
That's a big line.
Yeah.
Fisher-Harris out.
Now, Penrith...
Fisher-Harris is huge, but...
Yeah. Penrith's only conceded 4 tries. They're 1-1. They've won 36 of their last 40 at home. And, of course, this is the venue Brisbane really announced themselves last year, round number one. Penrith were fabulous last week, except they couldn't hang on to the ball. They really should have scored 50. But in fairness, Parramatta were weakened, so they were there to be had, and Parramatta really stuck on as well. I really enjoyed this game, Joel. But Penrith looked like they'd... God, look at this.
Speaking of best tries ever, is it the best front rowers try ever?
He's got the bar now. He's in the game at the moment for scoring, like Adam Fanua Blake last year.
And the footwork that he put on.
Hey, hypothetical, boys. So no Reynolds and no Haas. Hypothetical, if you ask Kevy, assuming everyone was fully fit, you had to take 2 players out. Who would be the 2? They'd be close to it. Obviously, beautiful eyes, Reece Walsh goes close. Who's the 2 most valuable players to win?
I think now that Flegler is gone, they can't afford to lose Haas. Mm.
And who would be the other one? Would it be Reno or would it be Walsh?
I think if I'm the opposition coach...
No, Walsh.
I would take Walsh out,
okay. I would take Walsh out too.
Haas and Walsh.
Yeah, I think so.
But either or.
Well, we've seen it in the games where Haas has gone off for those periods. They're just a completely different team for that 20, 30-minute period, whatever it is.
Mm.
It's frustrating that those players are out, but still, Dan, I agree. It still looks very big. And for... against Parramatta last week, that left edge when Bailey Simonson went off, they were at complete all sorts. And I think a really quality, sharpened attack would have had an... I mean, they had a field day down there, but probably could have scored more. Still not convinced that Penrith are fully there in attack. And we saw it in round one, scoring blot. Mm. Big number at night. I think I'm just sticking up the Broncos still.
Yep. I'm not going to offend your Queensland fans. I'm with you, Sean.
No, I think Penrith might blow them out of the water here. I just think they're on now.
Is that
they're
your band at home. Is there more to come?
No. Look, Joel.
Okay, so I just want to talk about this guy, Ezra Mann. Now, his support play is unbelievable. 13 tries from his last 16 games, and here's why. Look, just watch him in these clips, how close so often in many games. He didn't score last week, but he's always in the picture. He's just always there. For the podcast listeners, you want to catch up on YouTube for this, but the next clip you're going to see, I want you to pay attention, gents, to the top of the screen, right? So he leaves the train station far early. Watch the top of the screen here. Break on the right-hand side. He's a left-sided player, and he's the first one in the picture. Yeah. He should have scored, right? Latrell, very, very clever.
That was Gattoni passing way too early, and Latrell defended that well.
But he's just... flat, and he's in the picture all the time, ready to score. Reece Walsh's last one. If Reece Walsh is not there, there's a case that Mam scores a try. He's in the picture all the time. So that brings me to a woo!
Yes.
He's $4.50 anytime try scorer, Ezra Mam. And a person who puts the tickets in the barrel so much as he does being in the picture, first, second, or third try, $7 in what might be a tight, low-scoring affair. 13-12 last time they played there at that field. I think... I just love watching him play.
All right. We go to Warriors versus Canberra, a good 6 p.m. game or 5 p.m. Queensland time. 2 weeks away, and then we get onto all the same page. But be that as it may, Warriors favourites. I thought they'd be shorter favourites than what they are, Sean. But the Warriors, I came away from that game against Melbourne, and albeit I did miss the last few minutes, I thought more of the Warriors' chances than Melbourne's chances moving ahead. I thought the way the Warriors rolled through Melbourne in the second half, I'm worried about, and that's our bet. We've all got Melbourne to win the comp. We'll talk about Melbourne in a moment. But I came away a bit worried about Melbourne, but the Warriors, it's one of the greatest 0-2 starts ever.
It is.
Frankly, I can see them just putting the absolute cleaner through Canberra without Canberra doing much wrong. No Sebastian Chris for them.
Shawnee, and Chris was looking good in his comeback game last week, but the problem with the Warriors at the moment, they haven't put 80 minutes together. They've had 2 really good halves. You know, two really good halves of football.
Yeah.
And this Raiders side, they are a tough side.
Yes.
Tough, honest side.
90% completion round one, 90% completion round two. They play a very, very no-frill style of footy. Yep. And I think we've seen a few of the tries here. And there's that man you mentioned, Sugar Chris, Sebastian Chris, scored off a off that penalty, which I haven't seen for some years. I don't know. And this definitely says more about who they were playing as opposed to the Raiders themselves, I believe.
Sorry to cut you off. Ethan Strange there looked like young Jack Whiten. Yep. What a player that kid is going to be. Mm.
What about this bloke? Hoskins.
Hosking.
Can't get a start. He's been their best player so far this year.
That's a strange one. Mm. Whitehead obviously comes back straight in, Hosking to the bench. So a little bit strange. What worries me is the stat that we just mentioned is that they just play not a boring style, because that's not fair, but it's just very, very no frills. And at a, in a night game in Christchurch where it's going to be cold, probably a little bit dewy, it just sets up for a very, very perfect Raiders style of game.
Mm.
Which is, that's what I really want to be on the Warriors minus, but it's just big enough that I can't get there.
Danny Levi is one of the most improved players in the game, isn't he?
Well, he has to.
He looks super fit
to keep out the
Starling,
Josh Starling, and the other dummy half that they've had there, Wolford. So
Tom Starling.
Yeah, Tom Starling. What did I say?
Josh was the old Manly player.
Oh, the prop.
Josh was the prop.
Well, he's keeping him out too. I don't see Josh Starling on this list. Come on, don't be negative, Dolph. Don't be negative. You'll get an edict.
That's a great response. Fantastic response.
As we talk, it's at that tricky 7.5 line, but it is going to change. I've got the... Woo! I've got no hats, by the way.
No.
Canberra, their weakness the last couple of years has been left side defence. The slingshot play was back and so effective. Dallin to score a double is at $3.45. I'm with you, Sean. I can see two things. I can see the Warriors going absolutely berserk, or I can see Canberra frustrating the Warriors and eking out a win, or at least making it very close. But I just can't see them stopping that slingshot play. And I'll take two tries for $3.45. First Christchurch game in 5 years. Big game Friday night, Roosters versus South Sydney. Roosters favourites, not as short as I think many would suspect, although they have lost Luke Keary, obviously. Sandon Smith is the 6, Connor Watson the 14. South Sydney, Ilias dropped, Hawkins in. That's pretty much it. Roosters slight favourites, 1-1. They won both contests in 2023. Sean, you can start with this one. Fascinating, the Roosters with Smith and Walker, as we watch vision of the game last year, which sent the Roosters to the finals and sent South packing.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, I'd be concerned with Keary dropping out of this Roosters side, but I don't think purely on a numbers base, what's the line going to shift him in, him out? I don't really think he makes that much of a difference. Sandon Smith has been good when he's come on the field. He can play a role. It's good to see Connor Watson come back after probably 2 years of injuries. I really like how he plays. So I don't think it's a huge loss. And there is just something going on at the Bunnies that I can't really quantify and put a number on it, which I like to do with everything when it comes to punting. But
conceding a lot of tries.
And we just saw it last week. The Broncos left, I reckon, 3 out there. And that Latrell try at the end made the scoreline look a lot more respectable than what it was in real terms. There's just something going on. And I know if there's a game that they're going to get up for, it's obviously this one. I think this is a little bit too skinny for me.
Yeah, I can see two results here. Roosters in an absolute gallop, 13+, or the rivalry, Jack Whiten. Yeah. And so I kind of feel like Latrell comes out and gets 6 Dallium points, or Roosters win 13+.
Yeah.
Jack Whiten, 350, boys. That's a good price, isn't it?
Don't know.
No.
Oh, geez, sorry. Bad luck. No.
What do you think?
I'd wait and see. But
what are you waiting for?
Well, I don't know. Who's he up against? So he's left. Who's the right? Joey Manu, one of the best defensive centres in the game.
Walker inside him. I don't know. Latrell.
350 is a juicy price. I'll give you that.
260 odd for Latrell. And he's been in the headlines. It's the old team. He could be in for a stormer. He could be.
Yeah, but it's all could, buts, and
I wonder if the Roosters are going to be a bit flat because they were run into the ground by Manly on only Sunday, so a five-day preparation. I know it's a big night, but it is a five-day preparation.
There's enough reasons for South. So I agree with everything you're saying, but there is enough reasons for South.
Like, how could you actually go into this game and back them with confidence?
I couldn't.
You couldn't back them with confidence. Yeah, but are we sure, by the way, the Roosters will go Sandon Smith at six?
What, you think, Joey?
I don't know. I think Trent's actually been a bit honest the last couple of years. He hasn't really played mind games with the media and with the other team. The team he's presented usually in
they've tried it and it just didn't work. I don't think they're going back to that.
And Warrior Hargreaves' 300th game. Sean?
My woo in this one, and this is purely all about the stink fest that's coming from Redfern at the moment. Roosters 19 plus, much to what you just said, Sugar, I think it's either going to be a floodgate job or it could be a tight Bunnies get up for it and win the game.
Yeah.
But at the price, which is what we're all about, $6, that can get me interested.
Jeez, Sean, a South Sydney hater. Don't want to have those.
Must be the green. Is it the green you don't like?
Canterbury, I don't hate.
Canterbury versus Gold Coast, Belmore, one of the toughest tipping games of the weekend. Dog slide favourites. They're defending the house down. They just can't score points. I'm looking at a team here where Liam Knight is in. First game of the year for him. Pauasa Farmacilli was knocked out. Jeez, that was nasty.
7 seconds into the game.
Yeah.
Very hard to recover from that.
Yes. Gold Coast. I'm looking at a team that's pretty similar to what we saw against St. George Illawarra that didn't offer much in attack. Still no Fifita, still no Campbell.
Foran's a help.
Yes, you're right. He is back because he was on the team sheet for game one. I like the Gold Coast odds here, to be honest, Joel. Canterbury's record at Belmore is non-existent since returning. 3-9 since 2015, which is about their record everywhere else. The two sides had two very close games last year. Gold Coast have lost 23 of their last 27 away games, so they're not very good on the road. Shauno, I'll start with you, actually. Where do you want to go with this game?
Well, the Bulldogs can score points if the referee would get out of their way and let them score points. And if Blake Wilson just kept his foot inside the line, there's a couple of things that have gone. Now, I don't want to get complacent as a Bulldogs fan because they're still 0-2. But the signs are much better. Didn't have any ball in round one. Last week, possession count was still against them. And there was a couple of tries that could have went their way that didn't. The worry is Kiraz, I thought he would be shifted out to wing in that little team change that you touched on at the start. They got absolutely carved up down that edge of the field. And that's their right-hand side defensively. The one thing we know about the Titans, they are airborne on the left.
Yes.
So it's a worry and it's a day game. It's at Belmore. The sun's out in Sydney this weekend.
Multicultural day.
I'll be there banging a drum on the hill, so get around me. But it just worries me a little bit. That worries me a little bit.
Yeah. The thing that worries me, 13 games in a row for Canterbury, they've let in at least four tries. At least. So if Going back to last year, 13 games in a row, at least four tries.
They didn't deserve to have four put on. They did. I get it. They did eventually concede four. But that was a very unfair score to them. They were much better than 25-6.
Yeah, and the case could be made in the first game as well. I agree with Shawnee. The left-hand side for the Titans, particularly four and back. Khan Pereira, I just see him scoring a try. Yes. But before we move on to that, I've got the flair here, but Shawnee, you got some numbers
around
Matty
Burton. With Matty Burton. Now, everyone, the argument has been he's not a six, moving back to the centre, which is where he was. Well, at the moment, he's not playing as a six. He's playing as their first choice kicker /
halfback.
Yeah. So we're looking at here. Now, to be fair to Burdo, I've put him up against arguably the two best sixes that we've seen in the last decade in Cameron Munster and Dylan Brown. But look at their ratio of when they...
Dylan Brown, one of the best number sixes this decade. Wow. He is flying. That's a big... Anyway, sorry.
Let's not get sidetracked with hyperbole because that might be a little bit strong.
Thank you.
But
thank you.
What I'm trying to get at is the ball kick to run ratio. We need to get that down or above one for Matty Burton. Now, to be fair, Munster, he's probably a bit more of a dominant kicker than definitely Dylan Brown. So you can see it's only 1.8. Brown's to the extreme factor because he's got such a dominant halfback in Mitchell Moses in the side as well.
Ezra's numbers would be similar to Brown's.
Similar to that.
Yeah.
But we need to get it above one. He needs to run the footy more than he's kicking it. Now, again, there's always caveats with stats. Field position is a big one because he's got that monster boot. So if they're coming off their own, if it's a yardage set, then you're probably looking to him to kick the hoof the ball 50 metres. But we need to see him run. And we saw it a few times last week against the Sharkies, and it probably unlocked kick out. He had the best game I think he's had for the Bulldogs since he signed. I know he missed a lot of footy last year, but we see, well, this is Birdo running the footy, and this is a disallowed try that we know should have been a try. Run first, get the line involved, and then a little offload out the back. It just creates so much. And then here, not a run, but he unlocks kick out here as well. To be fair to Nico Hines, they did well to stop him there as well. But he just adds so much, that stacked left edge. If he runs the footy first, kick out Crichton, Fox out wide. There's a lot down that edge.
So what he's saying, Matty Burton, if you're watching this,
give it to kick out.
Ball to run ratio, we need parity. Is that what we need?
Parity and more.
And more.
And more.
I do agree. Like, get when it above one line, they just get into a bit of chaos.
Now, if we get to the halfway point of the year and they're in the positive column in wins and losses, I guarantee that's above one.
That's one or two, yeah.
Well, the homily aside, I thought the big thing to come out of all that, back kick out any time and try and score it again. The Gold Coast is the sort of side he could really profit.
The water side?
Homily.
Well, both sides, you're looking to the left, don't you? You're looking to their left.
But clearly Canterbury have decided, give it to kick out.
Yeah.
Belmore, I'd be having kick out times two. But anyway, Joel, have you done your flair?
I have. I've avoided the try scorers here. I do like Cam Pereira on the left for the Titans. I do like kick out, who'll be running straight at Tanner Boyd. But I just think Titans at Belmore, sneak home, 1 to 12.
All right. And now the segment in high demand. And when I say in high demand, from the bloke to my left, he demanded that this segment return.
What were they thinking?
Isn't it exciting that the television world will get to see this segment now from next week? Because this is not going anywhere that we're on the big channel. I guarantee it's back week to week. What were they thinking? Now,
can you bring some more confidence with you on TV? I don't think you're confident enough, Sean.
Now, I've been touted as the Raider hater, Sugar, as we've already touched on. They just make it so easy for me. And this is nothing to do with the actual footy club themselves, but more what's going on the ground. We saw from the game on the weekend, a bit of a sort of pungent stench coming from Canberra Stadium. So this is a little article from the ABC that we're seeing, but I'll read it out for those just listening. A door to a sewer pit was inadvertently opened by the Raiders during the match day to store equipment.
Oh, wow.
So maybe they were trying to find maybe a bit of a game plan in
there.
What a great
home ground advantage, though. Just warn all your, listen, it's going to be a stench.
Well, train with it the last game.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly
right. That's what the Knights used to do. They used to hose the sheds down.
Put the sheds in water. But we heard from Ricky after the game. It was actually asked of Ricky in the press conference. Let's hear what Sticky had to say about this.
Not sure how to ask this, but was it sort of tough preparing today? There's a bit of a pungent aroma down here in the new stadium.
Oh, I feel sorry for those people there with the stench. Not sure, like, I know people laugh at it, but we are the capital of Australia.
Almost lost for words, Ricky, which is pretty rare. Yeah. But that was very funny. And it wasn't the only toilet stench-related incident. Apparently Shark Park, the refs had to be ushered out due to a toilet blockage in the sheds at Shark Park. This is no word of a lie.
Rugby league.
A weekend for toilets and rugby league, who have had a very big history as well. Second one was a bit of a funny one. Now, we know Manly were playing the Roosters on the weekend. They both played in Vegas. Usually we see, like, when you're running it to the ground, there's a trophy or something there that you might run past. Manly Seagulls had an NFL helmet in a glass case that they ran past.
Yeah.
What? Have I missed something there? Are they playing for a helmet in this game?
Hang on. It's a great bit of merchandise. Like, they could make a lot of money off that.
Was it referenced, though?
No, it wasn't. I haven't heard it anywhere.
It was the Vegas Grand Final. Is that something symbolic there or no?
But it was a Manly Seagulls.
They should have had one of each, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Very strange to have an NFL helmet on the field and just...
No, I noticed that too, calling the game. I thought that was odd.
What were they thinking?
What were they thinking?
Hang on. One more. You see, he knows there's one more.
I know there's one.
Because Gibbo has texted me and said, Sean wants you to ask him about one at the end, okay? So, Sean, I'm asking you.
That was all set up for me to chime in.
Oh, what about Sean on SEN this week? We would use Triple M.
Hang on. Are you about to do what a very particular cricket host might do and have sent the footage or whatever this is in, but then what is this?
Yes.
What is this?
Yes.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes.
Hang on. What am I thinking?
Let's play the game. Let's play the game.
Okay. So, Shawnee, this was you on SEN. Let's check this out.
I'm speaking through my pocket at the plus 10 and a half, but there's promising signs there. I think, though, I was a bit of a staunch sticker-upper of Blake Taff. It's probably time to go. I think with Connor Tracy fit and available, I think you could put him maybe to fullback. What are you two giggling at?
Hey, podcast listeners, you need to go check out YouTube or KO because it's a response from the enhanced one, James Missile Magnuson, and Bears Head Fletcher. It is outstanding.
So you went a bit Ida Buttrose.
Well, I did, but hang on. Are you accusing me of trying to put my name, myself, up in lights by crowbarring that? Do you think I would have picked a clip where I don't sound like Kenny Callender?
That's the genius of it. Yeah. If it seems self-deprecating, but it's about me, everyone's a winner.
That's right.
Oh, fantastic. Well done. It is very funny.
I'm glad we got that. I'm glad, and that was funny. I'm glad we got that out of the way before we went to Fox League next Thursday night after the Matty John show. But remember, Sean, people see anything throughout the week that requires a bit of attention, what do they do?
First thing at the seams, Dan, get them on side at sportsbet.com.au is the email address.
Plenty coming through on the YouTube as well, just like Thomas Hudson, who clearly is a big advocate of sarcasm. He says, I'd love to hear a whole podcast dedicated to buy points discussion, golden point, and Dallium judging.
It's good night. That's could be next week.
Listen to SEN 3-6 daily. And well done on your ratings.
Thank you, sir. No,
very nice.
Thank you.
You should be the top dog there, and you are.
Thank you.
Now's the time to negotiate your next contract. See, I've told you I should be your manager.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Now's the time you start pushing.
Okay.
Here's what you need. You need to get some leverage. You need another radio station to sort of inquire. Oh, we're happy to do it.
Okay.
We're short a caller.
Okay.
So if you want us to leak something,
okay
Joel, and it just gets... St. George Illawarra versus North Queensland Cowboys. That is our game on Saturday at 5:30. Cogra is the venue here. Cowboys, very heavy favourites. She's not much love for the Dragons. More than $3 as we look at it now in the head-to-head stakes.
Mm.
They were flat-out awful against the Dolphins, obviously. They, frankly, gave up. Fascinating. Jesse Marski will make his NRL debut starting at number 9. So Frank Molo out. He's suspended. 60% record at Cogra the last couple of years. Their record at Cogra is better than Wollongong and anywhere else. No Helam Lukey, but Finifuiaki will start for North Queensland, so you wouldn't think they'd lose much there, Joel. And they've won their last four against St. George Illawarra by an average margin of 19, and they won a game they shouldn't have won last week, and I suspect they're not going to be that bad this week.
Yeah, it's really hard. They're on the road. It's bounce-back factor for the Dragons, Cogra.
Mm.
The right-hand side for the Dragons has problems, particularly with speed. So Jackie Bird's there and doing his best, but against Hammer and the quick ones, Val's there coming off a shocker on the left-hand side. I think he's in for a big day, Val. I don't know. I've found this week really hard.
Mm.
Typically, it is.
It has been a hard week
and
a scary week because there's a few bad teams that I'm sticking up for. And it worries me when I don't really agree with the market on these bad teams. I clearly probably haven't got them out of the gate enough, which is hard to do this early in the year. Haven't the Dragons been on a bit of a journey the last 2 weeks in terms of how they've been fancied, given no hope in round one, win?
Yeah.
Started favourites against the Dolphins last week, get held to nil.
38-0.
38-0.
But they gave up. I mean, I think they were at the end of a long run, and I'm prepared to forgive that run. They were terrible. Yeah. But I'm prepared to forgive them.
Conditions didn't really suit them either. I'm not sure they really probably suited a Dolphins game style either. But yeah, I'm not sure a bit of a mud heap, which it turned into late, is really their sort of go. I don't know. Back at Cogra, Saturday arvo, sunny.
Mm.
Mm.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, hang on, I've just looked at this flare.
Now this is
Sean. You need to take a run up for this one.
This is mega flare, but. And I think we might have just had a little bit of success in the past with this. When you're with a home underdog, you get around them and you get around them in a big way. 13 plus. Forget about the 1-12s just scraping home and thread needles. 13 plus, it's a very fast track. And the Cowboys, they can leak a few points. There's a few gaps there. $8.50. Wow. 13 plus.
Wow.
Woo!
That when we're looking for our best bets, which they're not your best bet, but this profile's hard for him. Home team, 8.5 start. That's a
you can guess most weeks what I'm going to be getting around.
I thought Dragons at the plus would have been your best bet. Was it on your short list?
It was getting close.
Yeah,
hard to trust.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Saturday night, 7:30, West's Tigers, Cronulla Sharks. Gee, the Sharks have been impressive. Aiden Caesar, the number 7 now for the West's Tigers. Jaden Sullivan shunted back to 14. Stafford, one of the Tigers' better players, is out, so Justin Ollam comes in. Cronulla, Nikito is out. Jack Williams starts. First time at Leichhardt since 2019. What about this for Cronulla? They always start seasons badly. 2-0. I think of all the success they've had, 2-0 for the second time in 22 years.
Oh.
And if they win this, it'll be the first time since 2002 they would have started a season 3-0. They were clinical enough against Canterbury in a game. Canterbury gave them pretty much all they can handle for the first 50 minutes or so, but the Sharks fought on and got the job done in the end, and that backed up their excellent win in New Zealand. This win not as good, Sean, but can't complain. 2 wins and no losses.
Don't know about the Sharkies. I'm struggling to get a bit of a read on them early after the 2 victories. I think the Warriors left a stack of points on the field in week one, had all the ball late in that game, just couldn't convert it to points, which we know happens particularly in round ones. And then, scoreline definitely flattered them against the Bulldogs, and that was on their home deck. And as bad as the West Tigers were last week, can they be that bad 2 weeks in a row? Maybe.
Mm.
It's definitely plausible. But that is a big old start. And again, profile sugar, home dog with a big old start against a team that, you can make a very good case for them not being 2-0 to start the year, the Sharkies.
You know, Tigers haven't played at Leichhardt since the 20th of May. Do you know what happened that night? They absolutely trounced the Cowboys. This has a few similarities to the Dolphins last week, where pretty poor week one, taking on a team who's up and about, you're back at home. A big crowd, they're an absolute chance.
Oh,
they are an absolute chance.
There's a lot of disrespect for Cronulla coming.
No, I understand.
A lot of disrespect.
They've only conceded 3 tries, Cronulla, so they're up and about. Their 3-quarter line's exceptional. And if they run top six, Nico Hines, with this 6-point system, wins the Dally M by that far. He's just going to go up in sixes, the way they play. If they finish top six, he's your Dally M medalist.
It's a copy and paste job whenever the Sharkies win. So, okay, 2 or 3.
I met this Lockie Galvin during the week. He has got X Factor star.
No.
You know what's noticeable? He's big.
Yep, he's big.
For an 18-year-old, he's a unit.
Caelan Ponga's first origin comes out smiling like a Cheshire Cat. Against Canberra, he comes out smiling like a Cheshire Cat and played accordingly. He knows he's meant to be there. He's never seen reserve grade again. He's a bona fide star. I reckon he'll score this week.
Yeah, but he's 18. He's going to have some bad games.
He won't see reserve grade again.
I'm not saying he won't. I'm not saying he will, but I'm saying we all think there's something possibly special there, but that doesn't mean he's going to be good this year. Yeah. He'll have good moments.
Do I have to remind people what happened to the last West Tigers half that everyone got
Brooksy
excited about?
Mate, he's a mile in front of Brooksy.
Well, he's played one game.
Yeah.
I agree. Looked very good
and
undoubtedly looks like he definitely belongs in first grade. Just want everyone to calm down a bit and let the boy play.
Calm up. Anyway.
Let the boy watch.
Let the boy watch.
That's right. You were channeling.
I wanted to say that,
Ashley Schaefer there. I think you're bonkers, both of you. Cronulla, this is exactly the game they've eaten up for 2 or 3 years. Flat track bullies. And
does concern me.
Tigers' left side is actually their weaker side over the last year and a half. So even though they conceded a lot of soft tries on their right side last week. Woo! Anytime try scorer, Jesse Ramian and Sione Katoa, $4.20. Katoa's the right side winger, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I just think that's the side. Tigers are so... Look, they're not defensive juggernauts at the back here. Staines, Fatape, Ollam. I think there's a lot of love to be had for Cronulla, who do like playing with width. So I can see Ramian in particular having an absolute field day.
Last 4 games, they've piled 146 points, so they can pull apart against the Tigers. But, Shawnee, we are relying on Cronulla to be below their best, aren't we?
No, 12.5. I don't think they have to put in a bludger.
No.
I mean,
No, Hamlin Ewelli still.
If
no
West Tigers, if West Tigers serve up
the Sharks cynic,
if they serve up what they did last week in defence, yes, they lap them. So, but I think they can just tidy a couple things up.
Oh, quick shout out for Appy Coruscant. Did you see him last week? He's too smart. He's too smart.
Oh yes.
There's a player running back on side, so he goes bang, sends a bloody missile through him, penalty.
Didn't, yeah. And Harry Grant tried that too.
Yeah, and then there's a player who he knows not square, runs straight into him, penalty. Yeah. Like, too smart.
Harry Grant did it when he was lying.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
but they both did the same thing. Yeah. Grant was he was more blatant.
More blatant.
Let's go to, what a great game. Sunday Arvo, Parramatta Manly, CommBank. It will be a sellout. Well, it should be, and I think it will be. Parramatta's got some issues here. Blaise Talangi, very quick young centre. Not a big body. Comes in at number four with Morgan Harper going out to the wing. And we know Morgan can rush in at times, so that might be an issue for them. Micah Seaver, God, Micah Seaver, how do you get suspended in a trial game, for goodness sake? Manly could not have been any more impressive than what they've produced over the last two games. Beating South and putting on a pile of points. And then last week, Joel, what was great, they bashed the Roosters. Blokes like Paseka.
Brown.
Pouring through the middle. Well, Brown playing discipline, straight and hard. Paseka, it's like he's realised, hang on, I'm bigger and faster and stronger than most of these blokes. I belong on this stage. I'm better than these blokes. So that was the pleasant surprise. Olakau'atu. That bloke looks like whenever he wants to score, yep, he can score. I was a Manly cynic coming in. I'm not a Manly cynic now. I'm very much a believer.
So can they win the comp?
Yes, they can.
Can the Sharks win the comp?
No. Sharks can't win the comp.
Ooh.
No, I'm asking. What do you think for both those questions?
I'd take Manly over the Sharks, I think.
Okay.
Yep. Actually, Sharks, I take it back because they're defending better.
Yep.
But let's see it against the quality. They did it against the Warriors, so take that back. But Manly are ahead of the Sharks, I would say, at this point. Right, this game. Afternoon, Parramatta, CommBank. To me, this has got big points written all over it. Big points, Sean, written all over it.
Completely agree. And you already touched on Morgan Harper, so he's going to shift out to the wing, which he played on a wing after that little reshuffle last week. And it was a train wreck. And I fear for rookie centre inside him, that they just have to go after that edge. And the more you go down that side, the more he's going to want to run in, and at some point you're going to cash in. So maybe look to those Manly right-sided players. Fully agree, high-scoring game. I've got Manly favourites in this one. Not a great deal in it with the CommBank factor. But at $1.98, I've got them.
You almost got yourself bleeped there, but anyway, continue. almost.
Thankta. Yeah, a little calendar moment again. I've got Manly favourites, so I'm with them in this game.
Manly, Joel, not favourites officially, but I hear what you're saying. You think Manly got those in front.
Bit of value.
Parramatta, you know I love them in the afternoon at home, 11-2. Since CommBank opened in the afternoon.
Is that right?
And average margin is 18 in those games.
Is Moses, he's still not 100%, is he?
Dinner suit?
Well, he kicked a little bit. He kicked early and then goal kicked, I'm talking about last week, and then handed it over to Gutho from memory. So maybe not.
Yeah.
Bit of upside in that.
The start at this stage is 1.5. I've actually got it the other way around. So similar to you, Shawnee. Yep. I'm actually going to go the other way simply because I know what you're saying about that being a target on the other side, but some teams are just who they are, and Manly love the left-hand side. Tommy Turbo loves the left-hand side. Brooksy's having a field day. His brother Ben's out there. Yeah. They do skew that way. They carved up who did they carve up last week? Oh, their three tries were all on the left last week. So for me, Benny Trbojevic, first, second or third, woo, at about $8.50.
Ooh, yes. Scored in week one as well. Yeah. There you go. Yep.
Nice. Lockie Croker, by the way, he's in the third. So there's 13 players who have scored in both rounds so far. Lockie Croker, he's an underrated player. He's one of those players.
I'll just say both teams to score 20 is a $3.40. And both teams to score 30, $21.
Ooh.
Gamble responsibly. This could be the match of the round. Newcastle, Melbourne. Newcastle 0-2 need a win. No Jackson Hastings. Melbourne Storm. unbelievably 2-0. And why I say unbelievably, they've done it without Munster. They've done Nelson. They've got Pezzett and Wishart, who have never been paired together in an NRL game. They've both obviously played in the halves in the NRL. Pezzett, they keep winning with Pezzett, so he's doing his job. Jack Cogger, the number 7. Jaden Brayley back and starting from the bench. They beat the Storm here at McDonald Jones Stadium last year, 26 points to 18. I'm going to start with you, Joel. This feels like a now or never game for the Newcastle Knights.
So is this confirmed as not my best bet? I tried to get on Monday. Is that? I'm not allowed to have
that. Joel was very. He put out on WhatsApp back the Knights at 225 because they won't be those odds on Wednesday. And you are correct.
I can't take that now.
Little sniper.
A little drive by. I did one of yours in. Just make it about me. look, Greg Marzu, decent out.
Yeah.
Yeah, decent enough. The Hastings thing's interesting. For me, boys, what about this? I'll run this by you. Ponga has played 54 games starting fullback. How many tries as a starting fullback has... Sorry, Pappenhausen, I mean. 54 Pappenhausen. Games as a starting fullback. How many tries has he scored?
Pappenhausen?
Yes, in 54 games starting at fullback.
40?
Sean?
Oh, 33.
47.
Woo! Wow.
That's a massive number, isn't it?
Yeah.
Big return.
47 tries from 54 games when he starts at fullback. That's a massive number.
That's huge.
Isn't it?
That's huge.
For a fullback.
Which is this is a good exercise in working out your anytime prices.
Yes.
Sugar. So if you look at all, package up all the Melbourne Storm tries that have been scored while he's played that game.
Yep.
Get the percentage of what he has scored of those.
Yes.
That's a massive number. That must be about 20-odd% then.
Yeah, and for clarity, that doesn't mean that he's scored in 47 games.
No.
That means he's scored 47 tries. Yep, so on the occasion, he scored 2 or 3. But it's still 47 tries in 54 games.
Mm.
Look, I'm leaning the way of the Knights. They have to win. There's no Nelson. There's no Munster. There's no Hughes.
Yeah.
They're at home. Big crowd. They're not going so bad. They have to win.
Yeah. I thought I was watching a Melbourne Storm VCR or DVD with this little trick play for Pappy,
yeah,
his 2 tries. See that?
Yeah.
First one was on the left-hand side of the field. Pezzett goes out, bang, straight back in to Pappy. Like that.
Pappy.
If that's just not the Pappy, if that's not
give
one of
some
the
more respect when we go to the big channel, please.
No, no, Critter and Pappy and everyone will be yelled out. But sorry, I don't think you'll find a more sort of sexy set piece than this. It's one of my just favourites to watch.
Sexy football.
Sexy football. Did it left. Did it right. And it's stuff like this, as a Melbourne Storm ticket holder, long term, boy, that gets me very, very excited. Because when you get Nelson back, when you get Munster back, it's exciting.
I just might shuffle away from you when you get that excited.
Just on that too, like you may know about the play coming.
How do you
it's still very hard to stop in
a game.
How
do you defend it?
Exactly right. Yeah.
So I'm with Newcastle in this game. I'm annoyed I didn't get a little army paint on and just snipe away the price that you did. I was actually disappointed that the market sort of has worked it out, but I've got them shorter in this given all the Melbourne Storm outs, and it's a massive list of outs. But my woo in this game, Tommy Jenkins, 2 or more. Now, I'm assuming he's going to hold down the right position. Tuala will come in for Marge on the left, you'd think. 2+ tries for Tommy Jenkins, and the reason why, Remus Smith loves to charge in early on that left-hand side, and it's obvious that when Melbourne Storm, their structure is, if someone goes in, you just go with them, and it drags Coates all the way into, and all of a sudden, the wing is wide open. Dallin scored 2 last week off the back of that, and I think he might just be able to have some luck.
All right.
Side of the field.
Very nice. That's the 8 games wrapped up. Best bets in a moment, but time for Bambi. Now, I feel like I'm a bit late on this because everyone got in ahead of me, but the next 2 Summer Olympics are going to be held in Paris and Los Angeles, world cities. Look at Paris, right? It's going to be mind-blowing. That's the opening ceremony, right? It's not going to be held at the Stade de France or the athletics track. It's actually going to be held on the River Seine with the most beautiful city in the world as the backdrop. How do you reckon that's going to look? How do you reckon that'll be received around the world? And then we move forward to 2028 and LA. You're going to have, that's the Colosseum. They'll put the athletics track back. Fits about 80,000 people. You've got SoFi Stadium, which is going to be used for soccer and archery. You're going to have archery in a 70,000-seat stadium. They've got massive indoor arenas like crypto.com, where the Lakers play, and the new Clippers Stadium, and the Forum for things like basketball and gymnastics and swimming. Big, 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 right? That's what the Olympics are supposed to be. Then we go to the fiasco that is becoming Brisbane. Look at that dump.
Okay? What's wrong with that?
That is an event for an event 50 years ago.
That's a little athletic
track. And it won't even fit as many people as it does there. See, that is a 55,000-seat stadium, and it looks temporary. It's going to be 40,000. We're holding an Olympics in a 40,000-seat stadium, a track and field. And a nightmare to get in and out of. It's a public transport disaster, and it's going to be a white elephant once the games are done, to the extent they're actually going to remove it, the temporary seating, and have a 14,000-seat stadium. And it's going to cost the Queensland taxpayers $1.6 billion. I don't understand how these stadiums cost so much. Then you go to Suncorp, where the opening ceremony and closing ceremony will be. That's fine. Okay. That's beautiful. I'm okay with that. And they're going to put some money into fixing the grandstand, I think.
What's there, like soccer and stuff, is it? Or
yes, I think so. Yeah. I think that... Right. Right. But that... It's not exactly the River Seine, is it? It's not exactly the Colosseum. This state government asked for these Olympics. This state government bid for these Olympics. This state government started all this, and now they're the ones backtracking. Here's the problem. The Queensland government is trying to put on the Commonwealth Games with five rings attached. They're not trying to put on an Olympics. I'm starting to wonder whether Queensland and Brisbane should be even hosting these Olympic Games. That is my Bambi. Thank you.
Ooh.
Queensland fans. Did you hear that?
Dan's friends in Queensland.
Former friends.
Yeah.
No, I feel sorry for the Queensland people. And can I ask this? Allianz Stadium, right, which I've always said was an indulgence. Beautiful stadium, yes? Got the best of everything.
Great.
Fits 45,000. Could not be more opulent. And it costs $900 million. How do we go from 900 million to 2.7 for the Gabba, which was going to be a 50,000-seater, and Allianz had to be knocked down and started again, so it wasn't a vacant block of land. Then this new thing, which has been rejected, was going to be 3.4 billion at Victoria Park, and now that dump, we're going to that dump, right, and putting temporary seats, it's going to look like the old It's a Knockout set, and it costs $1.6 billion. Where are these numbers coming from? How can you tell me that temporary seating for 40,000 people at, you're not buying the land, the land's already there, is going to cost you double.
The Queensland viewers.
Double what Alia, someone is making up numbers. There needs to be an investigation because someone is just plucking numbers out of the air.
Can I pull the Queensland viewers back in here?
All right, go.
Even though it's a swipe at a Queensland, not a Queenslander, but a Queensland team. I want to just bring to your attention some thinly veiled things that I saw. Thinly veiled tweets, a little bit of look at me action, much like me crowbarring SEN segment into this very show. Look at me, look at me. Now, this happened on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Chad Townsend.
Oh, yeah.
Well done, Chad.
Yeah.
I love rugby league.
Kicked the winning field goal. This is why we play.
Jeez, you're harsh on me.
Now, is that getting tweeted? This is the question. If he didn't kick the field goal.
No.
Of course not.
Thank you. Thinly veiled, look at me. Now, this comes...
So you're saying if Val kicked the field goal...
There's no tweet.
There's no tweet.
There's no tweet at all. There's no tweet at all. And I love the Chad.
The man...
I love the Chad.
Nailed the moment when it counts.
Now, there's a little piggyback off the back of this thinly veiled look at me. Oh, and we don't have any vision, so it's a verbal one. But our friend, our esteemed colleague, Joel Kane.
I thought I'd get whacked here somehow.
It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. His daughter, he couldn't make it due to work commitments, he couldn't make the presentation to receive the West Tigers number one jersey, so he sent his daughter along, and it was a beautiful moment, and he's put up a photo of the daughter getting the jersey of the players, but then following this, highlights of his hat-trick.
Yes. I knew it. You can't do that.
He didn't edit. He said, Dad, I've done an edit, right? And I thought, I know. I was uncomfortable with it, and it's not really my go, but the whole world does it these days, so I thought, rat's ass.
Don't make us feel bad. Thinly veiled, look at me. Yeah, I did it on this very show.
Hey, guilty, Your Honour. I take the early plea and I'm guilty. And I'm still singing in my head, thanks to you, It's a knockout. It's the name of it's the knockout. It's
By the way,
game.
Thank you, gents. There was something there right for the picking, and you didn't whack me. The early crow that I gave of the Cowboys, and you didn't attack me for it. I appreciate
On the WhatsApp straight away, I said, oh, Dan, you got early here.
You know what? Val should kick the goal, but as soon as I said it's going to win the game, there's 3 minutes left.
What were your words? What did you exactly say?
I have gone.
Surely wins the game or something?
Which surely wins that. What did I say? Even surely?
Oh, I don't know.
I said, which will win the game.
Ooh. Jeez.
No, I think I might have said surely. I might have had the little bit of wiggle
little
room.
Little caveat.
But 3 minutes to go was way too
early. And I'm inside Dan's head watching this, right, knowing that exact feeling where you, as a commentator, you need to be impartial and you know, unbiased. But at that very moment, he just needs the Cowboys to win, don't you?
Yeah.
You need them to win.
I don't know. Yes, I get what you're saying. I wasn't thinking that.
No.
Because Val's kick was so bad, that's like there's not a person that thought he was going to.
Yeah.
But you're right. But I wasn't thinking that.
No.
Best bets time. Joel, you can start us off.
Well, speaking about Valentine Holmes and the Cowboys, I do believe it's and he'll probably concede this, his worst game he's ever played. Everything went against the Val. Marking his old teammate and friend, Jack Bird, where he'll have a significant speed advantage. I just think he's such a champion and such a winner of a player. He bounces back in an almighty fashion.
I like the odds. 255 and scores a try. Now, apologies to our Melbourne producers because I completely missed the best bets and this is in the wrong order. But anyway, you persevered and I appreciate that. I just, Cronulla at the line. I'm not being disrespectful to the Tigers because Leichhardt and I'm prepared to forgive. I thought they actually did some nice things against Canberra. But this is what Cronulla do. They blow apart bad teams. And I mean, the Tigers are a team that certainly not the trendsetters. 12.5 seems too thin for me, so that's my best bet.
Wowee. There's no better bet that you'll have Sunday afternoon back in the overs at a sun-drenched Combank Stadium.
That is way too small.
41.5 is the total. I'm so keen on the over here. And for two sides, we've got poor defences on both teams out wide, but both teams can attack. Parramatta, offload, central. We've got Cola with speed, Turbo with speed. There are so many points out there on this field. I'm very keen on the over.
You had Dolphins Dragons at 46.5 at a wet KO stadium. How do you not have that at 46.5?
What number do you
take advantage?
What number do you have that at?
I think that might go off 44.
Right. But that's a big discrepancy, right? 3.5 or thereabouts. Yeah.
That has got alternate total written.
And that.
And we get into the 50s, I think, and that might be where we go. All right, thank you very much. Don't forget, this time next week, as normal, but then on the big channel with a different show from Thursday week on the Matty John Show. Gentlemen, finish us off.
Can't wait. Next Thursday, the Rugby League, Matty John's with the curtain raiser, and then get them on side. Coming to your Fox League screen. We're looking forward to that. For the absolute best tip we can give you, please take a sec before you bet and set a deposit limit.
And don't be negative.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.